For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Model Tess Holliday, known for her bright red hair and body positivity, she's amassed over 2 million followers on Instagram. But below the surface, Tess says she's been suffering with an eating disorder. Holliday sought help and now says she has a form of anorexia.
I am plus size, but advocating for diversity and larger bodies. And so I think for people hearing me say I'm anorexic was really jarring and hard and confusing.
Well, certainly the word confusing is accurate. Don't you have to be underweight to be considered anorexic? Let's check the DSM, which is a manual that defines psychological disorders. In the DSM-5, anorexia is defined as a restriction of energy intake relative to requirements leading to a significant low body weight in the context of the age, sex, developmental trajectory, and physical health, meaning that she would not be that size if she was restricting enough calories to be considered anorexic.
I've had a lot of messages from folks that are anorexic that are livid and angry because they feel like I'm lying.
It's because you are lying and they have a right to be mad at you. Just because you can go on a news interview and say these things with a straight face doesn't mean they're true. I can say the sky is green with a straight face. That doesn't make the sky green. And no amount of, I can't believe they would accuse me of lying, can change reality.
What do you want to say to people who don't believe you, who are skeptical when you say you're anorexic?
To folks that don't believe me, you know, that I'm anorexic and that this is what I'm dealing with, it doesn't really matter. Because at the end of the day, this is my truth.
The good old this is my truth deflection. Well, my truth is that anytime someone in the media says, this is my truth, they are just using that phrase to manipulate people. Anyway, this all began with a tweet from Tess saying that she's anorexic, in recovery, and she is not ashamed to say it out loud anymore. Very dramatic of her. Obviously, nobody reasonable believed her, so she went on this press tour that totally wasn't about getting free publicity to educate people on her situation. Here's her explanation of her eating habits.
I would have coffee. I would sometimes eat in the evening. I would have bits of whatever was laying around. I'd grab like maybe a handful of nuts. I would go all day without eating. And then at nighttime, you know, usually when my kids were in bed and I could settle, I would eat one meal and then I would go to bed.
Okay, but how many calories were in that single meal? Did you notice that she didn't mention that? You can stretch your stomach to the point where you can easily eat multiple days' worth of food and calories in a single sitting. That's what competitive eaters do. Look at this guy in a Mr. Beast video who ate 9 pounds of pizza. That's one sitting for him. It's not that hard to eat several thousand calories in one meal.
So I thought that that meant that I was a binge eater, and the psychologist looked at me and said, you're anorexic. And then I just started crying.
Again, very dramatic. But no, no one has ever honestly made that mistake. Understandably, binge eating can be a part of anorexia because bulimia and anorexia are very related. But if Tess is not purging that food after she eats, then she is just a binge eater, not anorexic. Just from the vague description of what she ate, she is already eating more than what someone with that disorder would eat. Outside of her one binge meal a day, she admits to having nuts as a snack, which are some of the most calorie-dense plant foods you can eat. People who are actually anorexic snack on things like cucumbers and celery because they have almost no calories in them. They don't eat nuts and seeds. Speaking of, here's a clip of Jeanette McCurdy, a recovered anorexic, talking about how little she used to eat.
So my mom said, well, there's this thing called calorie restriction, which is anorexia. And we like had, it really felt to me like we were in a buddy comedy, like doing the hand jives and then like eating 400 calories a day. Like it felt like the happy montage in a movie, only it was this very sick and disturbing situation that I wasn't aware of because I was a child. I wasn't aware that my mom was teaching me anorexia.
On the Minimalist podcast, Jeanette also says her anorexic mom would basically just eat broccoli and cauliflower. This is why people are calling Tess a liar, and it's why they're saying that her claiming she is anorexic in order to get publicity is insulting to people who are actually suffering from anorexia.
And I'd grab like maybe a handful of nuts.
One cup of mixed nuts is over 800 calories. It's extremely easy to exceed the 400 calories that Jeanette talked about with a handful or two. But surely the establishment media that's supporting Tess's grift must have some sort of excuse for why Tess qualifies as anorexic.
Now, whilst the official categorization of eating disorders doesn't often include atypical anorexia, it does include something called other specified feeding and eating disorders, of which this is one. So we can call it atypical anorexia, which people will still be confused about because they associate the word anorexia with starving yourself to death, potentially, and being severely underweight.
Geez, even the doctor is barely willing to call this anorexia. So why use that term then? Why not just call it disordered eating? Because it sounds to me like the fat acceptance movement made this up so they could continue to lie about how much they eat, just like they use the body positivity movement to associate themselves with victims of unfortunate accidents or birth defects to hide the fact that their own personal choices are the reason their body looks the way it does. I'm not kidding. Tess literally wants people to think that anorexia made her obese.
You know, I kind of wore it as a badge of honor that I was like this person in a larger body not eating. And I, you know, people in my life would say, oh, Tess, you know, she doesn't eat that much. And, you know, I kind of normalized that, which is my bad. I finally understood that I am fat because I was starving myself. And that's really hard for people to understand.
People are aware that what she's suggesting is impossible, right? Expecting someone to gain weight from not eating is like expecting your empty car to magically have a full tank of gas, even though you never filled it up. Obviously, you can tell she's lying just from the context, but to further make my point, here's a video of Tess eating an entire cake with her picture on it. Here's a picture of her from a while ago of her eating an entire pizza and a lasagna, captioned, "I'm not sharing." There are plenty of photos of her on the internet eating ice cream, corn dogs, and other junk food. Even on Nightline, in a picture where they pretend she's eating healthier than she is, she holds up a tiny Starbucks cup full of cream. That's not healthy. Yet she wants you to believe that she doesn't eat like this.
Yeah, because people just look at me and they're like, oh, just go eat another Big Mac. And I'm like, baby, I just had my first Big Mac a month ago.
But they make these assumptions.
Yes, they make these assumptions that I am not taking care of my body in the way that I feel is best.
You may have never eaten a Big Mac until you were in your 30s, but there is plenty of evidence of you eating all kinds of junk food. You think that's what's best for you? Seriously, Tess, would you just get treatment for your addiction instead of constantly denying that you're unable to control how much you eat? You and all the other addicts would be amazed to know how quickly you can turn your entire life around once you admit that you have a problem. If you learn to self-criticize and self-improve, in 2 or 3 years' time, you can put yourself in a completely different place. By the way, that's true for a lot of things, not just addiction. Yes, if you have an addiction, recovery is hard work, but it is possible. The reason it's hard work is something that I think Tess and a lot of other people are avoiding. Here is Jeanette talking about what she went through during her anorexia recovery.
I thought once I went into recovery that I'd be like walking along a white sand beach slowly with my hair billowing behind me.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You just feel like, oh, I'm better. I'm well now. No, that is not what recovery is. Okay, recovery is brutal. It takes so much out of you. It's emotionally draining. For me, my eating disorder was sadly a way that I was coping with the challenges of life. So getting rid of the eating disorder meant that I was now just coping with the challenges of life. It's not that the challenges of life went away, you know? It's just that now I can't lean on this thing to help me cope. Even though it's not helping, it was killing me.
Though it's not said in this clip, at the same time, Jeanette was also dealing with an alcohol problem. But unlike Jeanette, Tess is not willing to get rid of her security blanket and learn how to deal with her problems without using food, which is why she doesn't get better. All of the obvious lies and the constant reframing of how Tess describes her disease is evidence that she is not in treatment. Tess is acting like an addict who is still using. So yes, recovery is difficult, but let me ask you, what's worse? 2 or 3 years of pain or a lifetime of misery and chronic illness? I know it's hard to see success when you haven't achieved it before, but it is possible for you to change. And if you succeed in defeating addiction, you can take that process and use it everywhere else. However, clearly this is not the path that Tess has chosen, and clearly this is not the path that the establishment media wants you to take. The first news segment I showed in this video was from ABC. The entire time they tried to hide the fact that overeating is an eating disorder.
But below the surface, Tess says she's been suffering with an eating disorder.
Did you catch that sleight of hand there? ABC considers anorexia an eating disorder, but they don't consider overeating an eating disorder. That's why they use the word but in that clip. It's like them saying, you thought she was healthy, but what you didn't know. However, that last clip was a little abstract. Here is ABC again trying to hide that being obese is evidence of an eating disorder.
Eating disorders are extremely common and may affect nearly 1 in every 10 people.
No, it's not 1 in 10. Over 40% of Americans are obese according to the CDC, so that number should be at least 5 out of 10 if you didn't count obesity in your numbers. That's half. Half of all Americans have an eating disorder, and ABC is trying to cover that up, which prevents those people from getting help. But don't take my word for it. Here's the doctor from Good Morning Britain saying that obesity is an eating disorder.
Eating disorders comprise a spectrum of eating disorders, which include bulimia, anorexia, obesity itself, and there's always a psychological element.
Even though this entire Good Morning Britain interview was a grift, at least they didn't lie about that. But honestly, ABC's Nightline trying to hide the fact that obesity is unhealthy is disgusting. I swear this is becoming a catchphrase of mine because I say it with a lot of things, but I would just like to point out that yet again, these people in mainstream news are not your friends. Friends don't encourage you into lifestyle choices that will cause you chronic pain, type 2 diabetes, or heart disease, and will significantly shorten your lifespan. It's even more disgusting when you realize that people like Tess are trying to spread all this misinformation that destroys people's lives just to make a few extra dollars. It's all a grift. Everything they're saying is completely ridiculous.
Yeah. Tess, well, I understand that you've had quite a lot of backlash since you've come out and explained that you have this diagnosis. People thinking that you're lying, that you're just doing it for sympathy or for publicity.
Mm. I mean, listen, I would much rather be doing things for publicity than this, right? This is not a fun thing to be talking about. But the reality is, if I can be struggling with an eating disorder like anorexia, I know that there's other people that are dealing with it.
You would much rather do something else for publicity? What else have you done for publicity outside of talking about your weight? Have you, I don't know, done some charity work or something? Now, I kid you not. That was the first question I asked while doing the research for this video. So I typed into Google, Tess Holliday charity, and the first result I got was her involved in a t-shirt charity scam. Guess what? She is using the same speech patterns to cover up her lies here. The idea that I would willfully defraud the people who have supported me along the way is so upsetting. Someone called her out saying that she failed to deliver hundreds of t-shirts that people had purchased, and none of the money went to the charity she promised to give it to. When people brought up on social media that they didn't get their shirts, she blocked them. She responded publicly by saying the people she blocked were saying mean things, to which I say, show proof of that or I don't believe you. And then she said this, I'm not a businesswoman. I had no idea the realities of the task that I had bitten off. Really? Is it that hard to just refund people if things don't go well? I mean, you're always saying that you're such a great person, right?
I was always making sure that everyone else's cup was full and I wasn't filling my own.
Right. So if you're always so concerned about others, then why didn't you do whatever it took to make sure the customers got their shirts or a refund right away? If people are making this big a deal of it, it means you really screwed up. I mean, all it would take to fix this is a public tweet saying, hey, I'm sorry, we had a little mess up in our system that caused shirts to not get delivered. Please give us some time and we'll fix this problem. Or, if you're claiming that your expenses were too high to afford to donate to the charity you promised to donate to, then show everyone an audit of your expenses. But that's not what she did. She instead, throughout a non-apology, started accusing people of things, tried to cover everything up, and didn't make anything right until people went to the media and threatened her reputation. That's not what a caring person does. And by the way, nobody who is actually selfless feels the need to point out how selfless they are. Only sociopaths do that. Speaking of, allow me to direct your attention back to this line. I'm not a businesswoman. I had no idea of the realities of the task that I had bitten off. Weird that she would say that in 2015, because she used the exact same line of thought with regard to the anorexia drama.
What happened after you shared the news?
Well, I wasn't quite expecting it to blow up in the way that it did. I wasn't expecting everyone to talk about it around the world for weeks and months even.
I just had no idea that this grift would be so successful. I didn't think I would get free publicity for months. But really, you had no idea that a woman of your size saying she's anorexic would turn heads? Do you not understand what job you're in? You're in media. Everyone's job in media is to get people to pay attention to them. That's your job, that's mainstream news' job, that's my job. So if you're saying that you had no idea that people would respond like this, then you are either lying or you're saying that you're bad at your job. By the way, looking at these pictures from 2015 versus how she looked last year when the drama occurred, she might be the only person to have ever gained that much weight while starving herself.
I have had people shouting at me my entire career that all I do is sit around and eat, and I was starving. I was literally starving.
Going a few hours without eating is not starving. And I know that she is just using that word as an attempt to get people to think that she was at risk of dying. You do know that you can go weeks without eating and still survive, right? Here's something people don't get about weight loss. When you eat tons of food, particularly enough to vastly stretch your stomach, you'll be hungry all the time. But if you've ever done a week-long fast before, you'll know that you stop getting hungry after about 3 days, even though you are literally starving yourself. Which is why one of the things I recommend to people who overeat all the time and are trying to lose weight is to slowly decrease the amount of food they eat daily. This will allow your stomach to adjust to the lesser amount of food you're eating, so it won't constantly bother you to eat. Overeating will make you hungry all the time, so if you want to gain control of your diet, then you need to address that by slowing down bit by bit. But as for Tess, the grift continues as she constantly virtue signals to make herself look better than she actually is.
And it wasn't until I actually got the diagnosis that I started realizing, wait, I don't feed my body properly, and I feed everyone around me, and I leave nothing for myself.
There she is saying that again. As I said earlier, good people don't constantly talk about how much they do for other people. Also, pay attention to her demeanor. So many people in media have that exact same flat, emotionless, dead-eyed way of behaving when they're lying. She has used this way of speaking in every clip I've shown of her. Why do a lot of liars do this? Because showing proper emotion for the context of what she's saying actually takes quite a lot of acting talent. She can't do that, so her attempt at mimicking the emotional state of someone who is actually experiencing what she claims she's experiencing is all wrong. One of the ways you can tell someone is lying is when their vocal tone or their emotional state doesn't match the words they're saying. Getting back to Jeanette, someone who has actually suffered from anorexia and gone through recovery, this is what she sounds like.
In the least fluffy way possible, I've read so many I certainly went through like a self-help book phase, much regretted self-help book phase. And all of them were just like, what the, they're like, keep your chin up. It's like, how is my chin up
going to,
right? Like what, how is that going to help anything? My keeping my chin up is going to write a book. Cool. Thanks guys.
Yeah. Right? Be positive.
I agree. Most self-help material is full of useless, feel-good information instead of stuff that will actually help you. But do you see the difference? Do you see how her emotion matches what she's saying, whereas Tess has the exact same emotion, regardless of what she's talking about in every single clip? I mean, geez, Tess is so bad at lying in that clip I just showed of her that she refuses to make eye contact with the camera or the person she's talking to almost the entire time while she's talking about what a great person she is. Look, here she's doing it again.
Did your children or did people around you notice?
Yes. Yeah. I hope my 16-year-old doesn't mind me saying this, but my older son is just the sweetest. And he would ask me, and still does, he'll message me and he'll say, hey, have you eaten today?
See how she almost never makes eye contact here? She's either looking in a different direction or closing her eyes. Also, she does the, oh, my son is so caring. He is just wonderful. To hide the reality of what's actually going on, addicts have a really bad habit of parentalizing their kids and turning their children into caretakers. So what she's actually describing here is abuse.
At the same time, we don't have secrets in my household. I'm very transparent and open.
That's a lie. Anytime someone says they're honest all the time is lying. Everybody lies and everybody keeps secrets. It's actually incredibly difficult to never lie. Try it. Go a month without lying. This means you can't lie to other people and you can't lie to yourself. You'll find that it's not possible to do that for an extended period of time, but people who are actually honest will do their best to keep their lying to a minimum. And it's important to adhere to that because the less you lie, the more weight your words have and the more people will trust you. All of the obvious lying is how I can tell Tess is not in recovery, even though she claims she is.
That I was getting a lot of comments from people about, you know, my weight loss and my body changing, and it made me uncomfortable because I think that we should be able to compliment people and not mention their size or you know, perceived health. So I kind of just posted saying like, hey, can we stop talking about my body? And I'm actually recovering from an eating disorder.
If you can't talk about it, then you're not in recovery. Also, if you don't want people talking about your appearance, then stop posting pictures of yourself. It's really that simple. You're in the wrong field if you can't handle that kind of thing.
I'm tough as nails.
Then stop playing victim. That's your entire MO. Strong people don't do that. Geez, have you ever said anything honest? It's like everything she says is a contradiction.
When you speak out, Tess, there is always a backlash, isn't there?
You know, I welcome the criticism, but I'm not going anywhere.
If that's true, then why did you post a message telling people not to talk about how you look? You can't even handle a compliment, much less criticism about how you're destroying your health. Like I said, despite what Tess claims, this is how I can tell that she isn't actually in recovery. Her affect or her emotional state is all wrong. She is still overeating because she still continues to gain weight. And she doesn't appear to have any ability to self-criticize or say anything negative about her situation. Now, some of these things might seem abstract, but these things I'm pointing out become very apparent if you look at people who are actually in recovery. I know such people are uncommon, but this is what they sound like.
I was a fucking monster of a person from 21 to 24.
Yes, this is what a recovered person sounds like. They can admit to mistakes and bad behavior. Look, even Michaela does it during this interview.
Up till the time I actually got healthier and changed my diet and was less ill, I did things that I'm not proud of.
Can I ask what do you mean when you said like when you say shitty, what kind of things?
Well, relationships, not being faithful, lying. I drank way too much.
Oh, same.
Correct. This is how healthy people speak. I'll even say it. I was a shitty person in the past, too. I've been a bad friend, I've used people and not returned favors, and in terms of social skills, when I was younger, I was a very annoying person to be around. All of us have our faults, and if you don't admit to stuff like that, then instead of changing your behavior, you'll just continue to be a bad person. As for Jeanette and her recovery from anorexia, you can tell she's gone through the work because she can self-criticize and she can speak about her problems.
I've never heard the word trigger warning thrown around so much as in the eating disorder community, but I think that sensitivity is actually really counterproductive. Like, I don't think that you can just go, oh, I'm not going to hear. Oh, somebody's talking about a burrito. I'm not going to listen and hope to get better. Like, I think you have to hear thoughtful conversations about eating disorders and about people who have had eating disorders, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
She's also self-aware and can look at her experiences from a realistic angle, which is something that a lot of celebrities can't do.
Like, my reality when I was 13 was that everybody cared what I had to say. My reality when I was 13 was that, like, people were interested in me just because I was on TV, not because I had interesting things to say, not because I was saying anything of merit or value.
She can joke about her disease.
If I'm not going to vomit, I might as well word vomit.
Oh my God.
And she can remove herself from pathological behaviors and situations that aren't good for her.
Yeah, you know, actually, saying it now, I also think that quitting acting was hugely instrumental. Like, I needed that for my mental health, and I needed that for my own self-growth. And I think walking away from that, well, I mean, it was certainly the hardest thing, or one of the hardest things I've ever done. The kicking the eating disorder was harder, but walking away from a career that everybody's telling everybody in my family is going, don't walk away from this. You'd be insane to walk away from this. You can't. Why would you do that? Do you know how hard it is to be successful at acting? What are you thinking? And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I have to do it. And it was really hard, but it was me kind of taking a stand for myself. And I'm really glad that I did it.
For those of you who don't know who Jeanette is, she was on a Nickelodeon show called iCarly, which is one of the most popular kid shows of the 2000s. Then she did a show with the famous pop star Ariana Grande called Sam and Cat. Jeanette had a very good resume and could have made a long career out of acting, but threw it away because it was harming her mental health. This is someone who has gotten treatments, and that does have a positive effect on the way people interact with her. You can see that when she's being interviewed. Speaking of positivity, outside of Jeanette's situation, what's really sad is that a lot of people get so used to being around and thriving on negative treatments that they would just rather stick to what they're used to instead of changing themselves enough to attract people who genuinely appreciate them. If that describes you, then stop doing that to yourself. And honestly, stop robbing yourself and other people of all the value that you can provide by becoming a better person.
I'm rambling because I care very much about, like, helping in any way that I can people with eating disorders. I just think they're such a waste of time. I think they take so much potential out of people, and it's like heartbreaking to me that there's all these people out there who could be so much more, but they're just wasting their time on this addiction that's like defeating that. It's just, it's so bothersome.
People really respect the capacity for change. Despite a lot of people's fear of admitting to mistakes, being able to do that is actually one of the most desirable traits a person can have. If you can combine that with changing your behavior, you won't push people away like a lot of people seem to think. You'll actually bring everyone closer to you, which leads to certain choices. You could be a person like Tess who made a career out of gaslighting people on the health issues that obesity causes.
You can't look at someone and tell whether or not they're healthy.
Okay, there is literally an area of diagnosis labeled as signs and symptoms where a part of it is judging people's health based on the way they look. Clearly, you haven't had medical training. So you can be a grifter like Tess, or you can be a person like Jeanette who has suffered mental illness, gotten effective treatment, and now dedicates a ton of her time to helping other people get better. With regards to addiction, I think a lot of addicts, and really a lot of people in general, miss out on an idea called opportunity cost. They'll say things like, "What's the problem with me drinking every day? It doesn't hurt anyone else," which is technically true. It's not like you're stealing from people, but from a holistic perspective, it's not true. You are harming others along with harming yourself. Because instead of drinking all day, you could be doing something better with your time. How many people miss out on achieving their life goals because they are busy being controlled by pathological behaviors? That describes tons of people. When you fail to achieve something, everyone around you, including you, loses out on what you could have become and what you could have provided. There are so many people wasting their potential right now that who knows where we would be in this world if these people weren't trapped in their pathology. Certainly, we would have a lot fewer political problems. All the more reason to self-improve and fix your life. Anyway, thanks for watching, follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.